Today's first reading is taken from Genesis, chapter 9, verses 1 to 17. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from every human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today's second reading is taken from Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people and your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they'd acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Then he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is from Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 8 to 12. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we can meet you in so many ways. And thank you that you are the God of fresh starts. And I pray that for some this morning, this would be a significant fresh start on our walk with you. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do you do when something goes wrong? It's been interesting this morning. There's been a quiet calm at the back and also lots of rushing around where little things have gone wrong. But do you are you the kind of person who throws a tantrum? You don't have to answer this. Are you the kind of person who panics? Are you the kind of person who just sulks when things go wrong? Do you throw the stuff away and start again? They seem to be able to do that on the Great British Bake Off. You know, they have endless supplies of eggs and flour and sugar and stuff that none of us, of course, have. Or do you just kind of put up with a bit of a botched job? I was repairing the kitchen blind yesterday. I was putting a new bracket on because the old bracket had broken. And I'd got a new bracket only to discover that, of course, the holes for the new brackets are different from the holes from the other brackets. So I need to drill some new holes. Did that, no problem. And then went to put it up and discovered that the new brackets, actually the whole size of them is different. So I was then a centimeter too short and then had to do some more. And of course, you can now see those little holes with the raw plug sticking out just to one side. But I worked out you have to stand in a very particular place in the kitchen to see that, and no one's going to. So that will be okay. But what if it's more serious, that something has gone wrong? What if it's a marriage that's gone wrong? What if it's a life that's gone wrong through grief and through bereavement? What if it's a criminal record that hangs round our neck? Have you been able to turn over a new leaf? Or have you been hampered by the residue, the emotional residue, the spiritual residue? We know from all the crime dramas that we watch, we know a bit more about forensics these days, that every contact leaves some kind of trace. I wonder if you've heard of kintsugi. Some of you will have heard of kintsugi. Kintsugi is a Japanese art form where they take something that is broken and they fill the gaps, piece of pottery or whatever, put it back together, but fill the gaps with gold. And the belief is that when something is damaged, when it has a history, it's no less beautiful. In some ways, it's more precious. I think God is the master kintsugi artist. He takes what is broken. He doesn't throw it away. He works with the faults. And he enhances the beauty and the usefulness of that thing. As we said at the beginning of the service, we're in our walk through the big story that we live in. Yes, it's the story of the Bible, but it's the story of salvation history beyond the Bible as well. Last week, we learnt about, or we reflected on, God's great creation being wrecked by humanity's disobedience. There were consequences, but God was still merciful. And this week we come to Noah. Because after the creation and the fall, unfortunately, the rebellion continues. We see very strong words in Genesis 6:6. We read, God regretted that he'd made human beings on the earth, and his heart was greatly troubled. Very strong words. And whatever we make of the historicity of the story of the flood, there are deep truths presented here. I would say there are four significant things. One, God's judgment is real. But two, God will not abandon us as the human race. Three, God looks for obedient people. People he can trust. And four, God will use the few for the sake of the many. So he says here, Noah, I'll work with you. And after the flood, God makes a fresh start. He offers a new adventure. He says, go, be fruitful and increase. He says that in verse 1, he says it in verse 7 of Genesis 9. And that echoes the words in Genesis 1. He makes a fresh agreement, a covenant. A covenant is an agreement which is very serious. It's binding. I like to think of it as God's pinky promise. My daughters like to talk about, pinky promises that they seem to do at school, where, they wrap their little fingers and they say it's a pinky promise. I did a little bit of looking up this week, and because I was thinking, if it's God's pinky promise, he's got a big pinky, hasn't he? And therefore, that promise should be worth a lot. And I discovered that the origin of the idea pinky promise is actually, again, it's Japanese. It's a Japanese word, yubikiri. And yubikiri means finger cut off. And the idea of the pinky promise is that I'm promised this is so serious that if I renege on this promise, I will cut my finger off. My daughters are a bit shocked when I told them that's what they're doing in the playgrounds. A covenant is a big promise, a big agreement. And we're at this watershed moment, if I can use the word watershed, after a lot of rain. This is a big change because God says never again. Never again. And we get this rainbow sign, don't we? Now, the rainbow sign has been claimed by so many causes. But at its heart is here. It's about hope. Hope. It's about sunshine after rain. Sunshine through the midst of rain. It's about light after darkness. And it's not just about light. The rainbow shows the beauty, the complexity of light, the extraordinary nature of light, all those colours that come together into white and then are spread apart into those different colours. And when we think about light coming through darkness, I have to think about the light of the world. Who's the light of the world? The one who comes in the midst of darkness, our Lord Jesus. God makes a fresh start. But then the story carries on for a few more generations. Humanity again rebels. We see that with the story of Babel in chapter 11. Remember, one, God's judgment is real. But second, God has made a promise. He will not abandon us. And therefore, God makes another fresh start. How does he do that? Well, what did I just say? God looks for obedient people, and God will use the few for the sake of the many. So, he comes to Abraham, and he says, go. He gives him lots of promises, but if you notice, promises are for the future, whereas Abraham has to act in the present. I'll say that again. He makes promises for the future, but Abraham has to act in the present. He says, to the land I will show you. in the first couple of verses of chapter 12. I will make you a great nation. It's to your offspring that I will give this land, not to you. God offers to Abram adventure rather than certainty. He says to Abram, Abram, I'll work with you. And Abraham goes. Abraham is obedient. Abraham is faithful. And the passage we had read in Hebrews spells it out. It says he obeys even though he didn't know where he was going. He lived a life in exile. He lived a roaming life, a nomadic life. Always looking forwards rather than backwards. And then God uses Abraham and his family. He uses the few of them for the sake of the many. Chapter 12, verse 3. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Because the mission of God's chosen people was always to be a blessing to the whole of humanity, including us. It's a fresh start with Abraham. And if I had time, I'd go on to Genesis 15 and think about the covenant that he makes there in terms of the sacrificing of animals. So what? So what? Maybe that's what you're thinking or even saying or screaming at this moment. Well, Hebrews 11, where we read that story, the summary story of Abraham, which has got this list of all the faithful people throughout the Old Testament. It ends with, God plans something better for us. God plans something better for us. God planned Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament story, bringing blessing to the whole of humanity, including people like you and me. But of course, that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves on this story that we're following through over these coming weeks. But what I want us to do is to remember that we are part of this story. So where do we fit in? Well, I'll come back to those four things again. Firstly, God's judgment is real. But that's why we need the forgiveness won for us on the cross. We need it each and every day. Secondly, God will not abandon us. Whatever we've done, take the sign of the rainbow as that promise of hope that he's not going to abandon us. Remember kintsugi. Remember that art form. He will use our brokenness. He will use our failures. And he will make something new and precious. I really believe that. Thirdly, God simply looks for obedience. And when he finds obedience, he will take us on an adventure. And fourthly, God will use the few for the sake of the many. And he will often use our failings, our pains of the past, to bless others. If we've had a wayward past and we've learnt from it, God will use that to reach out to others. If we've gone through pain, disappointment, grief in our lives, I believe that, and I know this from personal experience, God will use those experiences to bless others. Everything is usable. Everything is redeemable. I believe he says to many, Patrick, I'll work with you. Helen, I'll work with you. Graham, I'll work with you. Lowry, I'll work with you. Church of Christ the King, I'll work with you. I just call you to be obedient and to follow. Will we? Will we be obedient? Will we go? Will we again allow God to give us a fresh start, to remake us so that we can be a blessing not just to a few, but to many? I think it's a really timely challenge as we emerge slowly and carefully from the pandemic. Although God's judgment is real, he won't abandon us. He looks for us to be obedient, and he longs to use us so we will be a blessing for many.